Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contaminated.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I certainly trust that you all have had a great week and certainly looking forward to tonight's broadcast. All right, we're going to do just a little bit of housekeeping now. I do want to say that last week's show was a great show that we had last week. I thank all of you all for tuning in with that one. And then again, tonight, we're going to be bringing you, tonight we're going to be talking about the importance of a sincere apology. The importance of a sincere apology. You know, people sometimes, they make an apology, but they don't always really mean it. You know, is it up to us to judge when the apology is sincere or not? You know, is anyone qualified to really decide on whether or not one person is sincere when they make an apology? Well, oftentimes and now times we hear people talk about they do something that may be offensive to an ethnic group, race, different issues. When they're called out, I mean, people sometimes feel confident about what they're saying or what they do, but then when they get called out on it, you find that what's happening is they become perhaps embarrassed. Is it genuine honesty or ignorance? Is it that this is their true inner feelings? Do they really feel this way about something particularly? And the fact that they've gotten called out on it now to protect their interest, are they just, you know, saying, hey, I'm really sorry, I didn't really mean to do this? And, you know, you can look at the news almost every day, and you'll see people who this is happening to. You know, so, but is it the other side of that coin is it for us to decide that that person is not genuine? Is it us to decide that, you know what, are we doing anything also that could also be considered harmful or offensive to someone else? Well, we're going to perhaps take a look at some of that tonight. We may not get an opportunity to cover all that we may want to cover. We may not get to all of your topics that you may want to get to, but we're going to do our very best to at least touch on some vital things, particularly when it comes to talking about the importance of a sincere apology. You know, if you want to be able to send in your comments, you may go ahead and send in your comments. And, of course, you're always, as you're welcome to press 1 on your dial if you want to talk. You may want to get in early enough so that you can get in the queue in order to be heard. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can also listen online at drjwalker.com. But it's always interesting when we have you online so you can make your contributions. We're going to be reading a story tonight momentarily that talks about the various things of a genuine, sincere apology coming from a couple who's been married for 8 years. And we want to see how you think, you know, once we read the story to you. Also, if you have a story out there that you'd like to, or a topic that you really want to be heard out there over the airwaves, please, by all means, share that with us. We'll consider putting it on the air at the appointed time. So, you know, we have some upcoming shows that are going to really be great. Are we living in a time now when men don't understand women, boys don't understand girls? What type of world are we living in? You know, these are some questions that I know people may ponder. But what type of world are we living in? So we're going to get to this tonight. The importance of a sincere apology. And let me just give you my thoughts before we go on any further. And I want to say that I think that it is very, very important when we talk about giving a sincere apology. Because, I mean, you know, but then what if the person apologizes over and over repeatedly for the same infraction? Is that something that we should really take a look at and say, all right, they're not really serious. They're not sincere because they keep apologizing about some of the same stuff. And that's what we're going to take on in tonight's story. We're going to look at that and see if what your thoughts are when we read this story when it comes to people apologizing. All right, you're listening once again live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can certainly tune in. You can certainly tune in, and hopefully you'll be inspired by something that takes place over tonight's airwaves. All right, let me get ready to go right to the story. All right, let's take a look here. And tonight's story, the characters are Quinn and Regina. Quinn and Regina. This couple, and we'll reiterate this as we go along tonight. Quinn and Regina, after 8 years of marriage with three young children, Quinn and Regina are still having marital woes of repeating some of the same issues they had during their dating stages. The challenges in this marriage are not necessarily different from couples in any other marriage, except in this marriage, Quinn often does the same stupid things that causes serious offenses to Regina, which leads to his same type of apology. It has now happened so often until Regina has become immune. Okay, let's just reiterate that. So this is constantly happening. And so as such, it's got her to the point, Regina, that is, his wife, where she's immune from his apology. So it's gotten to the point she's become immune to his apologies because she feels he's not genuine or sincere in making those apologies. Her thoughts are, if he really is apologetic, then he would not continue making the same mistakes that caused the apology in the first place. Makes sense to me. For example, Quinn likes to hang out with his friends until late hours of the night, which causes Regina to become highly upset because he fails to spend quality time with her and the children. When she calls him out on it, an argument ensues, which leads up to Quinn calling Regina undesirable names, which often makes her cry inside, which brings extreme pain to her. When he realizes that her attitude towards him is distant, he then apologizes in a very charming way, which in the past has worked to restore things. Unfortunately, Regina's not buying into it, into this habit of practices any longer, and she's had enough. It's been over 3 weeks, and Quinn has noticed that Regina is not the same towards him anymore, which he is not sure on what to do now because his charm has actually played out. Regina is now facing a dilemma on whether or not to end her marriage because she no longer believes that Quinn is ever sincere in his apologies. And tonight we start out with the question. We start out with a very genuine question. Can Regina really judge Quinn on his sincerity? You know, that becomes the question. Can she really judge him on his sincerity? We would love to hear from you, your thoughts. You know, who can actually judge somebody on whether or not they are really sincere? I mean, here it is. Quinn, he apologized, but he's doing the same thing over repeatedly. So the question becomes, is he serious? Is he serious? I mean, would you buy into that? I'm going to just, you know, while we're on the air, I'm going to just give my thoughts. And my thoughts are, I mean, could he be, I'm not trying to pass judgment. And I know the Bible says forgive 70 times 70 or 70 times 7 or get into the act of forgiving. I mean, I would find that this is kind of hard. If he's not, you know, I have to question whether or not, does this man really love his wife? You know, does he love his family? And I mean, who can even judge that? Who can really judge to determine whether or not he really loves his family or not? You know, who am I to say? But it doesn't appear to me that someone who really loves their spouse, someone who loves their children, someone who loves their family, it doesn't appear to me that this is the behavior that someone who claims to love the family members would be displaying. I just can't see them doing that. I mean, she's called him out once, twice, several times, and he's still doing it. And then on top of that, he's obviously still hanging out with his friends. So you got to begin to ask the question, what's more important, his friends, his family? Who's more important? You know, his relationship, his marriage? And then, you know, you will draw a conclusion at some point that, hey, maybe his friends are more important. Maybe that's his priority. And so what advice, if any, would someone give her, you know, or to Quinn? Well, of course, I think anybody of reasonable constitution would perhaps say to Quinn, listen, man, that's not the way to go. I mean, here your wife is calling you out. She wants you to spend more time with her. She wants you to be there for her and the kids. And, you know, you're not stepping up to the plate. And I think any normal person would be frustrated by this. I mean, I really believe that with all my heart, that any normal person would absolutely be frustrated by this act. And I would think that they would really, you know, come to a point where they would feel that, you know what, this is not something that I want to subscribe to and deal with in my marriage. And I think that is only fair. I think that it's only fair that they have a serious, serious talk. And I think in that serious talk, Regina needs to be honest with Quinn and let him know how she's feeling, and to also let him know that if this behavior continues, then I just can't see myself living this way. You know, you constantly bring up the same thing. You know, you're using your charm to apologize, but the behavior doesn't change. You know, it's like a man who perhaps, I mean, this, I'm going to give you an analogy, and this may be a bit extreme, but if a man, you know, is physically beating his wife, and then he'd come when he's drunk, and then he comes back, he hits her when he's drunk, and then he comes back, and he apologizes because he realizes what he's done once he's sobered. Then, you know, you got to ask the question, why would even a woman or anybody subject themselves to that type of treatment? I would certainly not want anybody that I love to go through anything like that. And so I would be of the opinion to say, well, you know what? Once you have that talk, that genuine talk, to let the person know that this is not a behavior that you're going to deal with, and because it makes it very difficult for you, it's very painful, and once you have that talk with them, and if they're not willing to make the change to become a permanent change, because he's not just hanging out at night, and then he comes home and he apologizes later, but he's also calling her undesirable names. No one deserves that. And so it's gotten to the point now where she's become immune to his apologies, which literally means she doesn't believe him anymore. She just doesn't believe him anymore. I mean, would you believe someone if they were doing the same thing over and repeatedly, and then it gets to the point where it's like, okay, I'm sorry, even if they're using charm, I don't think that you're going to I don't think you're going to really want to believe them. I mean, that's just my opinion, and I certainly can be wrong, but I just don't think that you're going to genuinely believe them. I mean, being called names, that's kind of harsh. That's kind of hard to deal with. Let me just take a station break. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You know, if you want to speak to this issue, you're certainly welcome to press 1 and give us your thoughts. I mean, that is hard when someone is actually saying that they're calling you names. And these names are calling, the name calling is causing her to cry inside. I can't see her. I really can't. I can't see Regina holding on to her marriage. So she's at a point now where she's facing this dilemma. And so, you know, with that dilemma, you begin to wonder and say, well, hey, should she stay there or should she leave? Should she stay or should she leave? Would you stay or would you leave? That becomes the question. I mean, it's always easier to probably give someone some unsolicited advice or some advice, but when it hits home, I can assure you, it becomes a completely different thing. When that thing hits home, it's totally different. Totally different. I can assure you of that. So here we have it where she's with Quinn, and their being together makes her realize that his name calling of her, it hurts her. She's crying inside. She's crying. She's probably thinking about this throughout the day, what he's done. And so now it's building up to the point where she just realized that, listen, I can't take it anymore. Every human has a turning point. Every human has a point where their cup can run over. And now Regina's at that point. All right, if you're just joining us, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tonight's topic is the importance of a sincere apology. In just a few minutes, we're going to go and take a look at some of the comments that have come into the studio where people are giving their opinion, you know, the importance of a sincere apology. And we started out with our story, Regina and Quinn, where this guy hangs out late with his friends when he's got a wife and 3 small children at home, and they've been married 8 years. And, I mean, he just, you know, when she calls him out on it, an argument usually ensues, and he ends up calling her undesirable names, and it hurts her. But it's gotten to the point where he's done it so often that his charming apologies don't mean anything to her anymore. So now, you know, she doesn't believe him. So now it's been 3 weeks into her attitude towards him, and he's wondering now, you know, what's going on? Because his charm isn't working anymore. She's built up an immunity to it. So now, I mean, would you believe him if it were reversed? Would you believe her? And, you know, it's tough because it gets into a question of, are we qualified to judge someone? And, you know, in a case like this, I say yes. When it's happening to you, it becomes a whole different ballgame. And so then you begin to say to yourself, you say, well, listen, do I want somebody constantly, it almost sounds like a lie. Do I want someone constantly lying to me? You know, here we are, the importance of a sincere apology. What is a sincere apology? That's a question. What's a sincere apology? If you want to respond to that, press 1. We'll take that and see what you think a sincere apology is. You know, what is a sincere apology? Is it when somebody is just apologizing for something that they may have offended you on? Or is it truly, or are they apologizing because, you know, they got caught with the hand in the cookie jar? What is a sincere apology? Are they Are they upset because they're apologizing because they're saying, well, hey, listen, I am genuinely sorry for what I've done. But then don't you learn from that apology? Don't you learn not to do, like in Quinn's case, should he still be calling her names and still hanging out with his friends when this is hurting her and the children? Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to Alabama, 205-908. Thank you. Welcome to the Dr. Walker Show. Dr. Walker, are you on the air live?
Oh, okay. This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us. Jack, what do you think? What's the importance of a sincere apology? Why is that so important?
Well, you gotta, because if someone were to do something to you and they don't be sincere about it, you could almost tell. Like, I had a couple of people in my office, and the young lady had done something to the other young lady, and she apologized. But the recipient said that, well, she can say whatever she wants to say, but I just don't feel like she's sincere in her apology and all. So I looked at the lady who said that, and I said, well, how do you know that she's not sincere? If she's telling you that she's sincere about her apology, or she's asking for you to accept her apology, then she must be sincere about it. But it's very important to have a sincere apology, but I don't know if you can really judge. I thought I heard you say something about judging earlier. I don't think you can really judge or tell whether a person is sincere in their apology or not. You just have to take it at face value. But it's very, very important to be sincere. I mean, you want to be contrite about it. You want to be, honest about it. You know, that whatever you've done to that person, you want to confess up. That's how I see it.
Well, Jack, let me ask you this question while I've got you here, and that is, like in our story tonight with Quinn and Regina, I mean, here you got Quinn who he hangs out with his friends, comes in late hours of the night, and then he uses his charm to apologize to his wife, Regina, and she calls him out because they've got three small children, and she's upset that he's not spending quality time with them. He seems to be more into hanging out with his friends. So now the question becomes, I mean, he's used his charm so often that she's almost built up an immunity to it because she doesn't believe him anymore. And now her attitude towards him has become distant. So the question is, I mean, she's thinking about whether or not to leave him. So, Jack, at what point should she, I mean, this man's been doing this so much. I mean, should she continue to be there with that behavior even after counseling and everything else?
No, I think once she's had enough, she would know that she's had enough. And I think it's time to give him that gift again, the gift of goodbye, because he's gone overboard. I mean, he's constantly doing things, and then he's constantly apologizing, and then she's accepting it, and I don't think she really believes it. So it's time now, for her to give him that gift. It reminds me of my mother when my dad would always, he was an alcoholic, he would always drink and then carry on over the weekend, and he would physically get involved with the hitting people and all of that and throwing people all out of the house. And then by Sunday, this is a Friday, and then on Sunday he wants to apologize because he's a little sober. So eventually she had to give him that gift of goodbye. So I think once you've had enough, you would know it. And then once you've had enough, then you give him that gift.
Okay, so Jack, if I'm hearing you correctly, but where does the 70 times 70, the act of forgiving come in? Let me just ask you that.
She's done that. She's done that because she's forgiven him over and over again. The 70 times 70, you don't put a number on it. You get into the act of forgiving. But there's a point in time, as you mentioned a lot, that you've had enough. So you will know when you reach that point. You know when you reach that point. Some people can stand, their tolerance level is a lot longer than others. Some people not, prone to stay in situations for a very, very long time. But I wouldn't advise anybody to stay in an abusive situation. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't want my daughter to do that. I wouldn't want my nieces to do that, or even my nephews. I wouldn't want anybody to do that. But you will know when you've had enough, then it's time for you to give them that gift of goodbye, time for you to move on and start your life all over again will just be without that significant other, so to speak.
Right. Okay, so even though we have the act of forgiving, get into the habit of forgiving, mm-hmm. and I agree with that. I do agree with you because behaviors don't just change overnight. And I don't think that in this case Regina deserves that her man is out there. I don't think that her man is out there looking out for her best interest. And the fact of the matter is, it's like, you know what? Am I going to keep subjecting myself to this behavior? I mean, can we even judge and say that Quinn loves his wife and family?
He probably does. I remember, and I think I said this on your show before too, there was a guy, Frank and Hilda, if I remember correctly. I think I mentioned those names. They were a middle-aged couple, I think they were, and they were both alcoholics. But he would beat her all the time, and she would say stuff like, you know, I don't think my husband loves me unless he really beats me. And some people had that mentality that they didn't think that he really loved them. Their husband really loved them unless he beat them. But I think that was ludicrous then, and I think it even more so now and all. So, again, I'm going to say this over and over again, that you will know when you've had enough. I mean, why physically abuse someone? I mean, you know how to do it physically doing it, but you can do it mentally or emotionally. You can abuse people and all. But people do that because they just love, misery loves company. People love doing things that they can to try to bring people down. For whatever reason, they do stuff like that.
Right. And Jack, I certainly do agree with you. I do agree. Because, I mean, it's like, I think people will treat you how you allow them to treat you.
Good point.
I mean, if Regina continues to subject herself to this type of treatment, then I can honestly see that Quinn will continue with that behavior. And I think that once she's had enough and she demonstrates that, by leaving him, then I think that, you know what, he'll either catch on and know that this is not something that he can do because she's not going to tolerate it. And, you know, giving him the gift of goodbye, which we've said over this show, airwaves, a number of times in a number of years, may not always be the worst thing to do, because sometimes you can, you know, that particular relationship may not be for you, but I think relationships are about helping people to be the best of who they can be. It should teach us a lot about ourselves and open us up to being objective and learning so that we don't do the same thing. Because if he's calling her names, which he is, and this is hurting her, this is clearly offensive, and then he goes back into that behavior, like you talked about your mother and father, and, you know, the situation becomes where, is he sincere? And then, but is that a judgment call, Jack? We talked about that at the top of the hour. You know, is it a judgment call? Can someone judge on who's sincere and who's not?
Well, as I mentioned, you can't really tell, but by their actions, you can tell a lot. I mean, you can say that he loves you all he wants, but does his actions really show that? And then if he's being abusive to me, if he's calling me names, and that's verbally abusing me and all. He may not be physically abusing me, but he can be verbally abusing you. And that takes its toll, too, because no one of you want to be called, you know, those derogatory names that they use to call women and all of that, female dogs and all that, kind of stuff. Now, who wants to hear that kind of stuff? I mean, that's what you think of me? It's like I'm some type of lowlife or whatever and all, you know, and you're constantly putting me down. And then you can put people down so much until they start thinking that's who they are. You can start calling people names and all, you know, like, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be anything. And they can have that low self-esteem about themselves. They say, well, you know, maybe that person is right. Maybe I'm not going to do that. And some people are, like I mentioned about the tolerance level, able to tolerate things, and they just stretch things off. Other people, are, you know, when you do it to them, they're ready to get out of there right away. But other people can stay in it, and then they can be affected by it. They can be in it, and they're really affected by it because they think this is the norm. But that's not the norm, what he's doing, and they should move on with their life. Now, no one said that you had to stay away from that person forever, because that person made a 180-degree turnaround and showed you that they were sincerely sorry for what they had done, then who can say that you might not get them back together again? But I would be very cautious in getting back together with that person, because you don't know how sincere. No, it's not a judgment call. I don't see that being a judgment call. I think you can see by their fruits you would know them. You would know exactly if that person, you know, is sincere or not, the way that they're treating you, or the way that they say things and then they come back later on and do something differently. So that's how I see it.
Well, you know, Jack, I agree with you 100%, because I mean it's like, you know, you're in a relationship and you know, the relationship should be respected. There should be love in relationships. There should be the ability to agree to disagree, but do it in a respectful way. When someone is abusing you by not meeting your intrinsic needs, you got a question. I mean, you know, you wonder if they're genuinely in love with you, or they just display the feelings of the in love. But those intrinsic needs, and we're going to be talking about that in an upcoming show, meeting your significant other's intrinsic needs. And, you know, sometimes people can be so good at everything else, but they fail to meet the intrinsic needs. And I think that that intrinsic need, psychologically, that inner need that you need, like you need food, that physical food and spiritual food, when those intrinsic needs are not met, I think that it opens up a window for danger in any relationship. And so let me just, Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by. But just before I go to the next phone line, do you think that that's important, that that he's damaging her intrinsic needs by calling her these names? And why is the meet the intrinsic needs so important?
Without a doubt. And he's damaging her self-esteem. And she wants to be able to, I think this type of person is very, very patient, and she's very tolerant. And she really wants him to solidify the relationship. But he's going contrary to that. So as you mentioned earlier, she does need to move on with her life. And as I said also, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to stay apart forever. She can put it, they can come back together on a trial basis, but the guy is doing damage. He's damaging her self-esteem, especially if you stay there long enough. You start beginning to think, this is the best I can do. This is who I am. I can't go any further. But no, you can do better. You can do better. You can do better than that. You can do bad by yourself. As I hear some ladies saying, yeah, I can do bad by myself, and they're absolutely right. They don't need a man to put them down or take care of a man, and he's not doing anything to help himself and all. So this putting her down, calling her names and all of that, it's totally wrong. And she's not making a judgment call by saying that he's not sincere with his apology when he comes back, maybe a couple of days later, say that I'm sorry for all that I said. No, no, you show me. Your action speaks louder than your word.
All right, sounds good. Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 305-319. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air? Welcome.
Hi, this is Kayla Lindsay. Good evening.
Oh, thank you for joining us, Ms. Kayla. Ask you a question. What is the importance, in your opinion, of a sincere apology? What is the importance of that?
Well, I can definitely relate to this woman and what she's gone through, because I can remember going through a whole 10-year, and you probably wouldn't even believe me, a whole 10-year, 10 to 11-year relationship, just a lot of emotional, you know, abuse that I've, you know, gone through. But, you know, you have to get to a point. I actually got to a point. Yes, I prayed about it, and I forgave the person, but I had to myself. Physically myself, get to a point to where I had to take it to the Lord, spoke with the Lord, and I prayed. And again, I had to get to the point to myself, with myself, and said, this is it. This is enough. I'm fed up with it. I've given chance after chance after chance, and walked away peacefully. You know, God worked it out, you know, of how it was supposed to be worked out. itself. Again, I got to that point myself. I had to say, okay, that's enough. I've done what I can do. I've prayed about it. I've forgiven the person. I've given chance after chance, and they won't do right or act right or do this and that. That was enough. I was, you know, tired of going through a lot of, you know, emotional or abuse or so, you know, from a man.
Right. So let me ask
you
this.
He worked it out. He worked it out in the best way of what, you know, of how it was supposed to go.
When you say he worked it out, you mean God worked it out for you? Is that what
yes,
you mean?
Yes, God worked it out for me. I mean, he knew what I went through year after year. Again, this is, and I was, you know, naive. I was young. I was a young woman. You know, I'm still young, of course, but I was a young woman. And,
right.
You know, naive as well, you know. And, you know, year after year, think about that, 10 years, 11 years, I got to a point to where I was just, you know, fed up. I did a lot of praying and, you know, talking and, you know, I said, this is enough that, you know, I don't deserve this. You know, I'm better than this, better woman, and I know God has better out there for me. And
right.
So as long as I keep, you know, with the faith and praying and, you know, just examine myself of what I want, you know, what I really want and, you know, what I don't, you know, really have to take that. I don't have to take this. I, you know, put myself in that position to where I am taking this. And I don't really have to. And so I just, you know, got to the point and
just let it go. Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But so
yeah.
What advice, if any, would you give to Regina? Here Regina is in our story tonight. She's at a dilemma. I mean, pretty much like you, your cup ran over and you had enough, as Jack was saying, where everybody has that propensity when they have had enough. So would you say that would you say to Regina to leave Quinn, or would you say stay there and just try it one more time? That one more time becomes another 10 more times. And he goes, it's sort of enabling his behavior. What would you tell Regina, if anything?
You know, I would, and everybody's situation is different. I mean, it's, we're not judged. Only God is the judge. Everybody's situation is different, whether it's, you know, they're single or married and they have kids and so forth. You know, it depends on also the type of setting or situation. But, you know, the advice that I would give her is, first of all, go to the Lord. You know, take it to God. Pray about it. Both of them together. Both of them together and actually sit down and talk. Not just talk and sit there and you hear each other, but actually sit down and listen to each other. It may take, you know, take writing, you know, information on what you want. I mean, how can we work on this? Can we figure out a way to work on this, you know, together? And it goes back just to definitely, you know, the spiritual mindset and point, and let's do this together. Let's pray about it. Let's really, you know, mean what we say, and let's, you know, try and work on this. If not, that, you know,
right.
As a couple, then we need to, you know, split ways if it's not going to work out this way. But definitely try and give another chance to see if they can actually sit down and work this out and actually talk about it. Actually sit down, maybe go to their minister. Sit down and talk with their minister together. As you mentioned, regarding like counseling that they've received.
Right. Well, Jack, let me bring you back in just before we go to entertaining some of the comments that have come in. Assuming that Regina and Quinn have done all of this here, I mean, this is just me now, and I certainly respect others' views. But if a person is, I think, like you said earlier, Jack, you know when somebody is genuine. You know when they're sincere. And for him for Quinn to continue in that behavior and then use his charm to apologize, I mean, after a while, you know, you keep telling your son or your daughter, oh, I'm going to bring home, one day I'm going to bring home this baseball glove that you wanted for all this time. After a while, even that child loses faith in you. Yeah, you know, they lose faith in you because you keep saying that, you know, oh, I'll bring it home soon, I'll bring it home soon, and then that soon never comes. And after a while, like you said earlier, Jack, that self-esteem is affected that now they don't even care if you come home or not.
Absolutely.
So, Jack, I agree with you. I, you know, second chances, I think, go up to a point. We're not gods. And I don't think that our tolerance, and Jack, you touched on it very well, I thought, our tolerance level is not that point where get Quinn being there, listen, she needs to move on with her life.
And can I state something? And as you mentioned, regarding, so yes, in this case, since they do have kids, and I probably didn't hear that part clearly, but yes, since they do have kids, you know, she definitely wants to do something because, as you mentioned, that affects the household, that affects the kids. Now they're hearing all this, and they're having to take this, you know, in and out of the household and to school and so forth, and all the physical, emotional abuse. This definitely affects the children.
Okay.
So you're right about that.
Right. And so Jack, that one more time, if he says, if he uses charm one more time and he throws that Hail Mary pass like Doug Flutie did, and that worked for Doug Flutie and that team, but he comes in and he's like, sweetie, I promise you this is the last time. And we you know, we know sometimes that can last for just a month, and then he goes back.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jack? I mean, seriously.
Well, I was thinking about the same thing about it's affecting the children. The thing is with children, though, they eventually can find out, you know, whether you're sincere or not. And so they also know whether, you know, mommy is just jiving or just talking, and she's not doing what she's supposed to do either. So maybe they'll get enough nerve that they can go to their mom and say, Mom, how long are you going to stay in this situation? I think we did that with my mom. I said, how long do you stay in this abusive situation at all? And then she finally broke down and told us the reason why she stayed in that abusive situation. She said, because of my children. But I wouldn't advise anybody to stay in an abusive situation because of the children at all. I think you have a right to move on with your life and all. And as I keep saying, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to be apart forever. Because who knows, this guy, as the young lady said, you know, you take everything to God. And who knows, God may have made a change on this person. He's not going to change on his own. And you said earlier that maybe the guy, for the most part, people don't change. But who knows, God can change anybody. God can change anybody. And she will be able to tell if she were to go back to him and she find him doing the same thing, then she can leave him right away. She can't. He never will be able to say that she didn't give me a chance again, even though she's given me all these chances. And we split up, and then now we got together. He can never say that she never let me go, and then she brought me back, and then she didn't let me go again. No, she let him go because he didn't do what he was supposed to do at all. So I agree with all that's been said. I think that if it's an abusive situation, you've got to eventually come to grips with yourself and say, how long do I stay in this? How tolerant am I going to be? And do I not move on with my life?
All right. Kayla, we're going to bring you in and give you the first comment that's coming to the studio. We'll be able to take a few of them because we're about 17 minutes outside of closing the show.
Okay.
This female writes in. She says, the importance of a sincere apology. For some reason, when my boyfriend offends me, he is quick to apologize, and I really like that about him. I just don't want him to offend me too often because it can damage the relationship, just like it did with Quinn and Regina. What do you think about that? She says she doesn't want him to offend her too often because they can damage
her. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, she's just saying when her boyfriend offends her, he's quick to apologize. And she likes that about him, but she doesn't want him to offend her too often because she feels that it can damage any relationship, just like in tonight's story. What do you think about that? Can when you offend somebody too much, can it damage the relationship?
I mean, yes, because that's also part of, you know, trust, you know, as well. If someone is doing something to you, but then they're constantly, you know, apologizing, yes, you're supposed to apologize, but the constant, then it sometimes, makes women think or men think, okay, are they really sincere about it? Do they mean it? Is it for, just for another reason or for something? I mean, why am I really, you know, coming back and forth to her?
with the quick apologies. Am I guilty of something or doing anything?
Okay. All right. Jack, what is your take on that? If you offend somebody too often, the damage that it can cause the relationship, can it really damage the relationship a lot?
Yeah, you're right. It's very hard to have any faith in that individual because he's saying one thing and he keeps offending me. He keeps saying something out of the way, or he keeps doing something out of the way. I mean, how many times do you do this? I know you mentioned at the top of the show that the Bible says we're to forgive 70 times 7, but that's not meaning you wait 489, then you say you got one more time to get to 490. No, that means we get into the act of forgiving. But as we have said earlier, you know when your cup is overflowing. You know when you have reached a point of no return. Now I got to go because this guy keeps offending me. He keeps apologizing, and then he's not sincere. I'm not being judgmental now because, your actions are speaking louder than your words. So now it's time for me to give you that gift again. I mean, that gift, as we talked about, that gift of goodbye.
And that lies in a trust issue in the relationship. That's like in the middle of the relationship. There's this red flag of, now can I trust this person because he's back and forth to me like that. So that brings in, that's a lot of mental. That's a lot of mental abuse and physical abuse, just hearing that from someone constantly like that, especially if it's over years and years and years. You basically can't really trust that person, which that should give you a red flag there. And maybe, the relationship is not meant to be.
Okay, excellent. Jack, we'll start you out with this next one that came in.
Mm-hmm.
This young man, he writes in, he says, I think it would help my marriage if my wife would apologize, would realize that she is not perfect either. He says she really apologizes she rarely apologizes even when she knows she has hurt my feelings. Is this a woman thing, he says, Jack?
I don't know if it's a woman thing or not, but some people are like that. They're in their own eyes, and they think that they can't do anything wrong. But I've always been taught this. The first person to apologize is the person that's in the right. Because if that were the case, and we all look at it from that perspective, then you have people apologizing all day because everybody thinks that they're right. So I this guy here, the way that he's saying it, he's absolutely wrong. I don't have any faith in this guy. So you have to do what you have to do at this point. Give him that gift again.
Okay, so Kayla, let's bring you in. He wants to know, is this a woman thing? He says it's rare that his wife apologizes, even when she knows she's wrong. He wants to know that she's not perfect either, and she rarely apologizes. He wants to know if this is a woman thing. And Kayla, let me ask you, from a woman's perspective, do you find that, genuinely being honest, do you find that women, it's rare that women will apologize even when they know they're wrong? Have you ever experienced anything, a man saying that?
I mean, it goes both ways. It's not just a woman thing or a man thing. It goes both ways, which lies in a communication type of, situation. There's something going wrong, with their communication, whether it's someone's not getting or feeling that they're not lacking this type of attention from here or there, but it goes both ways. So that is, I don't think it's a woman thing. No.
Can I add right. to that? Now,
yeah, Jack.
Because to be honest with you, I have experienced that on the other side of the coin where the female, I don't know for whatever reason, but sometimes they may think that they don't have to say that I'm sorry. Whatever I'm doing, you should see that I'm sorry, so I don't have to tell you that I'm sorry. But I think everybody deserves, if you did something to someone, everybody deserves that right for you to say that I'm sorry. Now, as you mentioned, now it could be on the other side of the fence as well. It could be both sides or whatever. But who's ever done something wrong? They need to learn to get in the act of not only forgiving but apologizing. You just don't, you know, okay, the reason I'm here so you know that I'm apologizing. No, you have to verbally say that. You have to verbally say that, hey, I am sorry for whatever I did, okay? You have to come forward with it. Don't just say, well, I'm here, so you know I'm okay. You know everything is okay. No, say it. Because then when you say it, then that speaks volume. That makes the person, the other person on the other side say, well, my feelings have been hurt. Now my feelings have been rectified somewhat because that person is showing me that they're remorseful for what they did. But don't just hold on to it. And you find a lot of people will do that. They will hold on to a grudge. They would hold on to it forever. They would never apologize because they have this feeling about themselves, this high esteem about themselves. But no, you gotta. If you did something wrong, be the first to apologize. And as I mentioned earlier, the first one that's supposed to apologize is the one that's in the right. So both of you will be asking for forgiveness all the time. But you will find people that are like that. They refuse to apologize because they think they're all that in a bad material.
And it's also just a part of having that, you know, humble attitude, you know, being a humble person as well, both ways, as what you're stating, to, you know, be a man, be a woman, and you both apologize. But, you know, of course, in today's society, yes, okay, from a woman's perspective, we expect, okay, the man to, you know, say all, you know, do the apology and not, you know, us as a woman, but again, it, you know, you both have to be humble enough, everyone, every man and every woman, to, you know, be an adult, to apologize when you're in the wrong, to say sorry, that it's okay to apologize. You're supposed to.
I got to do this part with you real quickly. I'm an instructor as well, and I was teaching a math class, and this little boy wasn't paying attention, so I had to get on his case, and I kind of like yelled at him. And, you know, he respected me so much, and the class was really engaged. So I saw the look on his face. He's like that. He just melted. Like, I can't believe Mr. Walker embarrassed me in front of the class. Okay? And so what I did, I saw that I had hurt his feelings. So I turned around and I said to him, I apologize in front of everybody. I apologize to the young man in front of everybody. And he looked at me and he said, the teacher apologized to me? He said, I can't believe that. And so from that day forward, he had nothing but admiration and nothing but respect because I was able to apologize to that child because I felt like I had hurt his feelings or I had let him down by screaming at him in front of the class like that or yelling at him in front of the class. So I don't care how high and mighty you up, you should be able to apologize. The Bible says that he that humble himself shall be abased, but he that exalt himself shall be abased, rather. He that humbles himself shall be exalted, and he that lifts himself up won't be abased. That's what it says.
Right. You know, I want to just revisit going back to what you all said, and I agree, and I like how both of you all have placed it out there, and Kayla, and you're right, it goes both ways. But, and Jack, what you were saying in your experience, and I found in my experience over the years, and I say this with humility and respect, I find that in communications with women, they are, even when they've been called out to recognize a flaw or two, they are, even when it's been identified, they are not readily acceptable in saying, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is, but it's like, it's you know, I what Jack said, it's like, well, you should know that I mean, you know, I don't mean that. And they, for some, and of course we're not, I don't think we're just generalizing here, saying a lot of them feel that they don't need to apologize, that, you know, okay, well, they can kind of twist it where it's justified, and then they put it right back on you. Well, if you had never done that, then I wouldn't have had to, you know, it wouldn't come to this point. So Kayla, I mean, that is kind of, but it doesn't make it good for the man, to, in my opinion, because he feels that the woman is placing herself above him, and no one deserves to be placed. The man is not above the woman, and the woman's not above the man. And I know the Bible tells us that the man's the head of the woman in a marriage, and I believe that has to do a great deal with spiritually. But and you all correct me if I'm wrong, and I respect your opinions and views as well. But when that woman is not apologizing, and remember she came out of man, and so for him to be the one apologizing all the time, after a while, just like in our story, it almost builds up an immunity that he can be turned off from that woman because she sets herself to be so perfect, and which makes her feel, him feel she thinks she's better than him. So, Kayla, if you'll speak to that, I mean, what advice would you have for any woman that subjects herself to that, where she's too good to apologize?
That, I mean, we're no better than anyone else, and that it just takes, you know, that humble, again, it goes back to that humble attitude that, you know, you're a woman, he's a man, and we're all human beings. You know, we're all ordinary people enough to be able to step out and apologize. It shouldn't take five or six apologies first from the man or six or seven from the woman, but both together in unity as one, you know, as a whole, as, you know, a human body to just say that. But then it also goes back to what the young man saw in school, that it even starts, you know, when they're younger. He probably never heard anyone say that, which helped him out moving forward. So it's also, you know, to say like a household maybe type of form of teaching or way, you know, when you're bringing your kids up, that it starts there in the household. And maybe some women, you know, been in households to where maybe they've never apologized, or they've heard maybe not their mother apologize, but, you know, their dad or so. So, and children, you know, they see all the actions. They see that. They hear everything.
Right. So I just want to... I want to throw this part out there, and I certainly welcome, you know, opposing views. But, Jack, let me ask this question. Do you think it may have to do a great deal with the fact that the men are always the pursuers? And, you know, in order, and as we pursue, we find it necessary to walk, to tread a thin line how we approach a woman. And then we're always cultivating and nurturing and fertilizing her ego. So, and so in doing so, it sort of puts them on a pedestal. And then when it's time for them to make an apology, they don't do it. It's almost like these young children today. And I'm not comparing women to children, but I'm saying, you know, differently speaking, when we feed these children with too much stuff that feeds their ego when they're not ready for it, they lose some respect. So, Jack, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? When we when we compliment the woman so much that now she doesn't think that she has any flaws to apologize?
Well, all of the above, everything that you said, you know, I agree with. That was very powerful, and your statement, the way you stated it, that's the case in some situations. Now, I can't say every situation is like that, you know, but you see, we are the pursuers for the most part, you know, unless you some kind of a celebrity or something where you marry someone who's not a celebrity, and then you find that the significant other is probably the pursuer. But the normal people like yourself and myself, you know, we more or less pursue our significant others. So we more or less kind of, like you said, we bring them on the pedestal and all, and they understand that. So they're not coming at us. We're coming at them for the most part. And they don't see the need, for whatever reason, that they have to apologize. And I'm just keeping it real. I'm just keeping it real. It could be the other way around, too, sometimes, because sometimes the men think that they're all that in the bag of chips, that they're not. I mean, it shouldn't be beneath anyone to, if you did something wrong, to apologize. Now, you know when you did something wrong. You know when you offended someone. So you should be able to go to that person and say, look, you know, I was off my rockers or whatever, or I was upset about something, so I'm letting you know that I'm apologizing for what I did. Now, we can't be presumptuous, you know, and think in terms of, well, I'm going to do this and then later on turn around and apologize for it. No, you can't, you don't do it that way. If you did something unintentional,
and you know you offended that person and all, you go to that person and all. But like you said, we are, for the most part, I don't know whether the young lady is going to agree with this or not, but for the most part, the men, the normal men, or regular men, are basically the pursuers. So they're the ones who find themselves apologizing most of the time, and I agree with that.
All right. We are clearly – I want to speak some more to that, but we'll have another show on that particular topic. But we're for now, we're completely out of time, and it's probably gone over time. Listen, Jack and Kayla, I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. And the others that we weren't able to get to, we do apologize for that. Join us back here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational programming. If you can't join us tomorrow night, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. And just one other note, we're doing a prayer march November the 10th, a week from this Saturday, from 1 to 3 p.m., from 1 to 4 p.m., that is, in the Liberty Square community. So if you can join, for more information, you can call 954-367-6766. All right, until tomorrow, until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
You're welcome.